Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 541 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you doing, fellas?
Fucking fantastic.
And I say that not knowing how you are because, you know, we'll often have a chat beforehand, but this year it's a fucking precisely tuned instrument. And it's like, get on, hit record, let's fucking go.
Look, you know, you might call it having a chat. Others would say that we sit there and just cop a tirade of abuse from a fucking angry woman.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And you'd think he'd be angrier this week. I mean, of all weeks, this would be one of his angrier weeks because the fucking nerve of Dylan Edwards to fucking walk into 2024 and say, oh, look at me. I'm sick of looking like Alfred E. Newman. Now I want to look like fucking the Big D's. I'm just going to bite his style of big fucking shark I am.
Well, so, I'm not sure that's comments. An upgrade.
Look, I mean,
much like his game, Dylan Edwards' motivational or inspiration for his looks and his hairstyles is going fucking backwards.
Dylan C grade, but fucking Edwards. Landed square into D grade. Yeah. So, I mean, look, you can be charitable and say, listen, he heard how, you know, the Big Diesel caught on last year and he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to try and, you know, get a part of that, get some of that Big Diesel shine. Or, you know, conversely, maybe he had a follicle test. I don't know. Who am I to say? I'm not an expert. But,
well,
either way, we're left with this little fucking, I'm even going to say Diesel. He doesn't even belong to the Diesel family, Glennie.
It's not even.
I don't know what you call it. Little fucking caboose.
What do you call it?
Little caboose.
The big Tesla.
Yeah,
it's about as far from a diesel as you can get, isn't it?
Just an electric. The
big caboose. Fucking bringing up the rear of the comp.
Just on last week's episode title. Not a big fan of it. Got to be honest, but.
But the thing is, I just want to just for the full transparency. Jay did fucking tell you exactly what the title was going to be via text. 2 days before we even record that episode. I mean, don't act like you were surprised.
I mean, he told you. I don't think he told me via text.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe he just told me. But in any case...
Yeah, so I will act like he didn't tell me because he didn't fucking tell me. So that's quite interesting. But I got a couple of...
So did you go to the M-word Brown stand and fucking cry yourself to sleep?
No, I didn't. What I did was stand on the hill after another glorious game of Summer Social Mixed Touch on Monday night where, for the third week in a row, got over the stripe, put the ball down.
There we go.
Two words, social mixed. It's just warm-up.
Do it when I've driven up the fucking mountainside. Do it then, pal.
So we...
you want credit?
Look, I will say the Big Diesel takes a bit of stopping. So when I'm running at full pace and I've scored a try and I've got to try and pull up and there's a young fella that's playing for the opposition who was a little late in trying to make touch, obviously, but I couldn't stop and he stood there and I have dead set fucking belted this kid with my shoulder right in the middle of his chest. But anyway, that was a little eventful. He said he was fine. Pretty sure he was crying on the sideline. After the game, a couple of questions about the episode title from some of Toowoomba Touch's finest. Where did that come from? What does that mean? It's like, look.
It's not hard
perception.
To figure out.
No, it's not. But I said, look, there's a general perception.
I'm racist.
Well, not me. I said, there's a general perception that if you're from Toowoomba, you're a racist redneck. So therefore, I
not necessarily
live in
Toowoomba. I mean, you're not from Toowoomba. You're not from Toowoomba.
But if you live in Toowoomba.
We think you are too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You live in Toowoomba.
Yeah.
But the looks on these gentlemen's faces, they're lovely human beings. The looks on their faces, they were genuinely offended. One of them is of Indigenous descent.
He's probably got genuinely like a tear out of his eyes, like no, it just hit home. He's like, oh my god, finally someone's speaking to the truth of this fucking cesspool.
Yeah. But anyway, they were quite happy it was aimed at me and not them. So good times.
Oh, well, yeah, we're happy.
We're gonna struggle. We're gonna struggle making an accusation of racism stick onto the Indigenous guy, Glennie. I think he can feel like he can stand aside from this the entire time.
I'll tell you what.
Put the labels on me that you have over the years, gentlemen. I'm sure you'll find a fucking way, because I am one of the greatest human beings gracing this planet.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but if you have to tell people that, I mean, it kind of, you know.
Well, how else will they know?
If you need somebody to do the most fucking complicated mental gymnastics around racism possible, some fucking Guinness World Record mental gymnastics about racism, then you just need fucking Nate's mate at the fucking homophobia Sea Eagles, who was in the newspaper today defending Spencer Lenu.
Yeah.
Like that was some of...
I'm glad we brought that up.
The most... Well, I thought we'd better actually segue into some footy talk. So.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
We went from real footy NRL talk.
Yeah. But, look, once the season starts up proper, you'll get your 10-15. Don't worry about it.
Interestingly enough, he believes that the way you combat racism, which he thinks is rampant, is by defending the racist... and saying that you can say racist things as long as you don't mean them in a racist way. That's the crux of his argument.
I think the crux of his argument was it's happened to me all the time, and I just don't know anything about it, and I leave
it on the field.
The whole adage of like, you know, the standard that you walk past is the standard that you accept.
Yeah.
Bully for you if you cop it sweet and don't do anything about it.
Yep.
But don't sit there and fucking talk about the cunts that actually will fucking stand up and say nah.
Yeah.
Not having it. You know. And of course, this seems to be a real problem with like the Pacific Islanders, because they've all formed like Voltron around this issue with Spencer Lenu. Because it's not just like, and this is the other thing: so did someone go up to Homoli and say like, you know, what do you think, or is he just fucking offered his opinions unprompted as well?
Who fucking knows?
I'm not gonna be the guy that's being like shut up and dribble. But I mean, like. If you're going to have bullshit opinions like that, don't inject yourself into a fucking situation like other noted brain geniuses such as John Hopewade, who was going fucking ham on Instagram all week long.
Yeah.
Basically the same sort of thing. I copped it and I threatened to kill the guy that said it to me, and I got banned for fucking 5 weeks and blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing, you know.
But there's not one
And I'm sure there's more that I haven't seen.
All that needed to happen from any fucking corner, whether you're asked for an opinion or not, was there's no place for racism in society or in our game. That's it.
Yep.
That's all
yep.
that needed to be. There is no place in society for racism. There is no place in our game. Instead, in every fucking corner, all I see are dumb cunts. And there's the contingent that come from Pacific Islander backgrounds and those communities. You know, don't get me fucking started on the fucking how religion has penetrated that and fucking poisoned their outlook on shit.
Remember when like I don't know, like probably 3 years ago or 4 years ago, you know, it used to be like a joke, like we used to talk about like the prayer circles.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah,
like, that was it was like a joke back then.
Mm. Fucking
but then you
hell.
Think of all the stuff since. Fucking hell.
But then you've got from the fucking cunts that should be saying the least about this, good old Freddie Fittler pipes up.
Oh my God, I've forgotten all about that one too. Just mentioned it, yeah.
Like, you know, again, say what you like about where you think they stand on this particular instance, but Pacific Islanders have been, you know, had their fair share of colonizer dick over mm-hmm. the fucking very recent history
of them, yeah.
But old Freddie's gone up to give the fucking white man's opinion that the NRL should sanction all the players that were fucking speaking out and yeah. recommending suspension.
And so presumably he's talking about, like, you know, Latrell's Jonathan Thursday, I guess he's ex-player, but like Latrell and players who spoke up in defence, and I guess on the other side as well. I mean, does he mean that people were speaking against the, you know, like, or falling you as well? I don't know, but
I think we can probably agree that we might take on the opinions, as Jay puts it, from every corner, but none of us will ever understand truly what Freddie Fittler means or what his intention is. He yeah. doesn't even know.
No.
So he claimed he believes the NRL should sanction players who have commented on the Spencer Lenu racism saga, claiming they have broken the league's protocols. Because the league's protocols are what
matters. I demand that he present the fucking article and sub number of the NRL fucking handbook where these protocols are laid out in detail for me, just so I can understand what they did exactly that was wrong.
Then maybe the saddest part of this is after Latrell's come out, fucking Anthony Mundine's decided to go, oh, I'm gonna make this all about me. I'm going to make this all about me. And hey, Latrell, before you can call out any sort of racism, you need to perform on the football field. Don't think yeah. about calling out any or having an opinion on racism until you're yeah, I mean, not underperforming.
And you think you're GI, but you're not GI, and you're definitely not me. As far as achievements,
and when it comes, when it comes to calling out racism, I was the pioneer. There were no Indigenous people in sport before me. I was the first one. You know what a fucking good job he did. Do you remember the interview where he called out, you know, how it was racist that he wasn't the number six for Australia when the incumbent number six was a gentleman named Laurie Daly?
Yeah. Yeah,
and he was informed that Laurie's Indigenous as well. Just but had I'm no yeah, fucking idea.
Mundine was obviously indigenous. Well, like, you know, he's the 5'8" for the Canberra Raiders. So obviously he's 100% ancestry.com fucking Danish and fucking Norwegian fucking blood.
Fuck. But just at every fucking corner. You know?
Yeah.
And it's overshadowed. Like, the way Thurston spoke about it, there was pain and passion.
Yep.
The way Latrell spoke about it, there was pain and passion.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else has come in and essentially tried to go, well, if this isn't all about me, fuck this. Or, well, this is my experience, so fuck everyone else's.
Yes. Okay, so like moving on to the real stuff then, like 8 weeks. Long enough? Too long?
Wait. I think his excuse was weak as piss. That I don't
like the suggestion that he's like, you know, just because he pled guilty that he's also like a stand-up guy and accepted responsibility, especially when, like, you know, During the game, he didn't. After the game, he was flippant about it and denied it. Had the altercation in the hotel after the game, saying it was Mam's fault for not leaving on the field. He didn't actually start to feel bad about it until it really sunk. Yeah, until it really sunk in that he was going to be missing like 2 months.
Yeah, that's it.
And, of action,
mate. Look, let me in our second last old man basketball game of the season, right? We were playing against a guy, absolute fucking flop. He wanted to put full court pressure on everybody bringing the ball up. Like it's a men's over 35 socials. The finals were absolutely gone. So it was literally just a game for fun.
Yep.
And he was just being a dick. And so I've just set a perfect screen just over halfway. And our guy bringing the ball up has seen me there and accelerated and run this guy into me at full pace.
Yep.
And it fucking rocked him. And he's turned around. Yep. The first thing he's done is swing an elbow back at me. And he's missed. But up the floor, I'm chirping and I'm like, cunt, don't start swinging arms. Or, you know, we'll look at each other and start swinging them. Like, and he's, oh, I didn't know you were there. What the fuck do you think you ran into, cunt? You know?
Yeah.
And all game, the boys were just giving him fucking heaps. Just giving him fucking heaps.
Yeah.
And he knew that it was coming to a head. And then after the game, he's come up, he stuck his hand out and he's gone, mate, I'm sorry about the elbow. Fucking beautiful. Beautiful, let's go, let's all get on with life. But I didn't know you were there. And I'm like, fucking, you don't apologize and then go, oh, but here's why I really shouldn't have to apologize.
And
this is my thing.
It's like that classic one where it's like going, I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah, I apologize that you felt that way.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I realize here that I'm relating a very serious fucking issue to some bullshit thing that happened in an amateur sports league, but that's what the Spence thing reminded me of. He's gone out and gone, oh, yep, this is it. Yeah, but I didn't really mean it in a racist way, so really I didn't do anything wrong. I'm still very sorry, but I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what gets me. I think at some...
When you're looking at the length of the penalty, you sort of... It's funny when you look back at the history of what's happened to people who've done stuff like this in the past. And like you also like, you know, if you mix in like, you know, homophobic stuff as well, the penalties have been very fucking light traditionally. Like we're talking like 4 weeks, 5 weeks sort of thing. So this is on the, you know, which is, I guess, a sign of, you know, improvement that they're actually treating it more seriously or whatever. They're giving it more time.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's never going to be long enough, I think, for people who, you know, like Indigenous people who obviously, you know, feel the slight much more than we ever could, you know. But like for me as a connoisseur of chaos, as we've established, I think the perfect penalty would have been 7 weeks, which would mean his first game back
would be the return game
against the Broncos. And then any additional weeks that he deserved could be dished out
afterwards.
By, you know,
yeah,
Payne Haas and fucking any of those gentlemen. But can you imagine that game's a spectacle though? They go in, that's frothing up all week. They go in, and then you know, and Lemieux gets his just desserts and gets the fucking business.
Oh.
And then Jarrell Hargraves, he gets the shits, you know, and for his guy. And then
it'd be like that semi final, whatever it was.
That one in South's the time, when there were six Zimbins or whatever.
Fucking hell, man. It's that funny thing. You look at all these footy players, and there's this constant thing where they want to be treated just like their employees at regular jobs. You know, they don't want anyone to know their salaries. Yep. They want all da 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 da. Oh, yep. No other employee in Australia wants this shit. Well, you know what? In any other employer in Australia, if you said that, you would be instantly terminated
and never
work ever again.
Yeah, I mean, you would. Yeah, that becomes a job from which you can never derive a reference or.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it.
Mention that you work there.
And you better fucking hope that you work in a very large industry where every cunt doesn't know every other cunt.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And anyone saying it's too harsh of a penalty anywhere else in the world, you're on the dole.
Yeah.
You know? So, regardless of whether you.
I didn't have a chance to have a look at what the penalties are like in in like other sports leagues, like especially big sports leagues.
Yeah.
But so to compare it against that, but yeah.
Oh well. Glennie, what are your thoughts on everything we just said?
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said, like I always do.
Oh, that's fucking not surprising. Toowoomba man.
Fantastic yeah. human beings. Why would I not agree with you?
It's almost like you weren't on the call for like the last 5 minutes and listening to what we've been talking about, Glennie.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Nathan, when you talk, I listen. Amazing job covering.
It was seamless.
When you talk, I listen.
That was great.
All right.
Glennie, please condemn racism, Glennie. Oh, I'm losing you. I'm going through a tunnel.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, mate. Yeah, really appreciate your input.
Yeah. And your Toowoomba mates act surprised. Jesus Christ.
Fantastic.
The Grand Wizard of C-grade.
Really glad. I'm really glad I'm doing this again.
You can explain that one. You can explain that one next week at training. Let me just type that one down so I don't forget it. All right.
Is there K grade touch?
Still not low enough for my fucking level. But at least I get to wear my hood.
I don't know if you...
At least I get to wear my hood.
I remember around the corner, just down near, when I was growing up, down near Eagle Farm Racecourse there was, there used to be a toy shop that sold, like, you know, sort of like old school, like, you know, like wooden toys and stuff. And I think it was called something like K&K Creative Toys or something. And I have to wonder if the creative was spelled with a K in that business. They've since long gone from there, but I think they live somewhere else in Brisbane. I'm not sure where, but yeah. Wonder if that'd be the leading choice for fucking little replica Big Diesels made out of wood.
I really don't.
Now
know
let's quickly go through
about.
The games. Well, it's come well, about that, because you're a Toowoombaite, Glennie.
You know, there's that place in is it Ashgrove, where it's a tutoring place, and the way that they've had their sign written, it says number works, N words. Yeah. It's supposed to be like number works and words, like with N instead of and. But the way the sign's written, it says number works.
Oh, N who's
words.
Approved that?
It's fucking. It's terrible.
Who has signed off on
terrible.
That?
Yes. Was there any other actual news?
I
this
have
week?
My suspicions, Glennie. I don't know. Let's go through the games. That was obviously the big issue. And you know, let's make a 2024 resolution not to find ourselves sucked into anything that might have been generated or had its genesis on NRL 360.
Yep. Fuck yeah. Footy news only.
Excuse me. I'm fucking sick as a dog early this week.
No,
tell you, I learned
a
valuable lesson
though.
For the first time in my life. Yeah. I actually just fucking slept it off, like just almost crashed out for the entire day on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Nearly gone 2 days later. So rather than try and fucking just work and dose up and then make it go for fucking 10 days because you're trying to be a dumb cunt. All right. The games. The final games for the round are the Canberra Raiders 28 defeat the Newcastle Knights 12 at home. Season opener in Newcastle and the Raiders. Fucking put it on them.
Did Glennie, what?
Did you see the game?
Oh, I think that the Raiders put in a performance, you know, much like their fans. They were just trying to get me to like them. It didn't work. Overall, pretty impressive. I thought Newcastle were far less so and had, you know, as you say, home opener, high expectations of the side this year from their fan base. And when Canberra turned it on, Newcastle really struggled to go with them. And
well, and the thing is this, they were just physically up for it. It kind of reminds me of the way that Newcastle dipped out last year.
Mm. Yep.
Because remember they went to the finals and they had their big streak and everything like that, and then they just got bashed.
Yeah, that's
and,
it.
And, you know, it's... It just
I think
seems
Newcastle's...
like a continuation...
Sorry, you go.
No, you go. Mate.
Newcastle's forward pack at... You can get at them. They like to get on the front foot and they like to, if they have an opportunity to be the bully, they'll take that opportunity. But if other forward packs can outmuscle them and take that physicality to them, they don't love it.
I think the moment I thought was really indicative of the game. Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was just going to say, I think the moment, like the moment to me that summed up like the way the match went was it Starling when they kicked that ball, they kicked the long kick into the in goal and Marzu picked it up and sort of ran back just into the in goal and then he tried to bring out, you know, from beside the post. And I think it was Starling just got him and just held him. The cavalry arrived and then they forced him back into the in goal. Yeah. It was that was the kind of effort plays that Canberra were putting in pretty consistently across the entire 80 minutes, and the Knights just they weren't up to that.
No,
they couldn't just from an effort basis they just couldn't match it.
I think the operative word, and Glenn, you hit the nail on the head there with the forwards, is pack. That Newcastle forward group seemed to they're the guys who will win one-on-one battles with their opposition. You know, like the Frizzell try where he was in space. And you put him one-on-one or close to a hole, and he's too big, too fast, too skillful, and he'll make them pay. You know, same Saifidi, he'll have one-on-one hit-ups against anybody and look like he's the greatest prop in the game. But Canberra did a very good job of getting at him in numbers.
Mm.
And you're right. When you do that and shut him down, they're not the James Fisher-Harris's, the Christian Welsh's, the guys that will... I don't care. If you run two at me, great. I'll run into both of you.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And I think Canberra, just to touch on your point about Raiders sort of hunting in numbers, their pack probably does that as well as any in the competition. So, and just lastly for me, Danny Levi with a big fuck you to Nathan. I'm here for that.
And also, you've got to remember as well, Hudson Young got fucking binned.
Yeah.
He did, didn't he? Well,
early on.
Do we need to say that? Raiders game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a given. Yeah.
But then Ricky going,
we're getting sin binned for pushing now. I'm like, contact with the chin.
Yeah.
Fucking late, unnecessary. Yeah.
From a Knights point of view.
It was a very good win, and for that cunt to still complain in the press conference.
That's shocking, isn't it?
What a miserable cunt he would be if you had to deal with him on a daily basis.
Mm.
From a Newcastle point of view, you look across that stat sheet, and you were in that game in almost every single fucking category. You know, the run meters were almost bang on identical, and Newcastle had 8 fewer sets than Canberra did. So in terms of territory and opportunities, Newcastle were in that fucking game, but unfortunately, completing at 68%, where the error count was 15-7.
Mm.
You can't do that. What do we have? Fuck, I forgot. We do socials on this show, don't we? Jesus fucking Christ.
But we don't have to if you don't have them ready.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have to if it's only cunts.
Well, it's... Canberra game, so you know
it's Newcastle versus Canberra. I mean, what do you expect to come out of this?
Exclusively,
it's going to be fucking glowingly positive. Newcastle fans' comments in our group are nothing but a fucking beacon of positivity.
The timeline over on X was Knights fans killing themselves because fuck me, they talk themselves up in the preseason.
Fucking hell. Daniel said, hashtag fuck the Raiders. Yeah, interesting.
Like it. And their fans.
Chris, he said, no 4K on KO. I guess it's not worth wasting the bandwidth on these cellar dweller clubs. Josh, why isn't this either the pub slot or the Sunday special? I didn't think the game was that bad. Or is that because I've been starved of footy?
It wasn't. The game wasn't that bad. I don't know. Some people just fucking complain because there were, I mean, you know, there were games that were bad.
Yeah. Okay. Dear NRL, please do not invite Canberra or Newcastle to Las Vegas ever. In fact, let's ban them from any game with the potential for excitement. This match is doing more for the rugby league's boring crowd than a whole season's worth of Titans games. Fucking hell. Glenn, fuck yeah, Raiders to open.
I think don't read out people like that. They're just saying that to be cockheads. It's like this game wasn't a boring game. I fucking hate two teams. Don't get me wrong.
I hate
two teams in there too.
No, that's the sentiment in there, that it was a terrible game of footy. Fuck, you guys need some Dairy Queen vibes in you. Tell ya.
They do.
What, have you spent the entire off season watching nothing but Penrith highlights, so everything else is shit? Where's everything else? Bennett, Morgan Smithies. Looks like an AI-generated image of an English rugby league player. there we go. That'll do us for that game.
They do have a look, don't they?
Oh, hang on. Solzy said, fuck Glenn Blakely in particular.
Yeah, that's well deserved. Yep. That's deserved.
Yeah. A sentiment that we can all get behind in these divided times. The Sharks 16 defeat the Warriors 12 in New Zealand. This one looked like it could have been anything for the Warriors. I mean, they were almost racing the clock there for the first two tries. And I think that a very big chink in their armour was discovered in this game. And that is that Freddie Lussick ain't it. And Wade Egan needs to be fucking completely injury-free this year and play 80 minutes every week.
Yeah.
Because fuck me, when he went off, that was when the wheels come off. That was it.
That's it.
And then he took the wheels with him.
And then he went to come back on, got injured, was off again. And so that was it. And literally without him on the field, nothing happens for the Warriors.
I'm really worried that he's going to turn into, if he's not already, like just one of those, like those Dallas Johnson type players where they're not doing anything stupid. They're not really, but they just fucking axe themselves.
Yeah, this is weird. Like his arm or his shoulder wasn't at this time that got him off.
That's it.
Yeah.
The Warriors really didn't have any answer when Cronulla didn't go away. Like obviously getting out to that fast start, I think they sort of expected Cronulla to wither a little bit more than they did.
Hmm.
But the Sharks, who at the beginning of last year, think back to that, they were one of the first full 80-minute teams.
Yeah.
While everyone else was still getting their match fitness up and really working into the season, Cronulla entered last year ready to fucking go. We'll play for 80 and we'll put scores on. And they've come out exactly the same way this year. They were just too big, too strong, too fast. They weren't going to go away.
I think grit and toughness is become part of the Sharks' DNA, and they certainly structure the way they play around that and try and play to their strengths. They've got a lot of guys that are quite, you know, physical, rather than, you know, just silky skills, so to speak. And I think they lost a little bit of that as the season wore on last year. But based on this game, we went 12-0 down, and they had the Warriors gave them opportunities to get back into the game. I think the Sharks were good enough to steady themselves, take those opportunities, and just work their way back in slowly but surely. And then they got the lead and then, you know, held them out for better part of 20 minutes to close the game out. And not pretty, not massive scoreline, not a heap of tries or whatever, but a pretty solid game one victory for the Sharks and you know, probably showing us they are who we think they are and who we expect them to be.
And especially when you're destined to be like a team on the fringe of the finals come the business end of the season. Every win's important, so the Sharks will be happy they got the 2 points.
Yeah,
on this
but
one.
That style of play is going to win some games, you know.
Yeah.
Some ugly games through winter and that Origin period and stuff like that.
Or particularly just early in the season too, because you got to give it a month to let things settle a little bit too. Teams get their shit together and everything. So,
and that's the thing. How many times
is it
it's for and against, or oh, this if this wins and this loses and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
The Sharks are making the ladder predictor obsolete. How good. Yeah. Levi, so the Panthers lost round one last year. Doesn't mean we aren't going to win the comp. Well, fucking joke's on you because we lost this year too.
The Sharks can't beat a top eight side. Does this mean that the Warriors have been condemned to the bottom eight or the bottom nine this already this season?
Interesting. Sharky Dave said, round one wins aren't for everyone. If your side doesn't have one, you should probably just give up now. And fuck the Wilds.
I agree.
There you go. I will take this opportunity. If you haven't seen them in the Facebook group, our dear friend Mitch has been doing a fucking stellar job in every single one of the game comments, writing a fucking like Hollywood review.
As if it's a TV show or something. Yeah.
I'm not going to read them out on the show because they're too long and I'd probably giggle too much, but definitely get into the Facebook group and give them a read and hit the fucking like button and do all that stuff. He puts a lot of effort in and they are fucking great.
Right. Are we moving on?
Let's go.
The Storms 8 defeated the Panthers 0 in the Korean Housewife. Pretty intense, you know, dour sort of game. Both teams had no issues really getting down the field, but again, both teams as well defended very resolutely in their goal lines.
Yep.
And the Storm especially, just their scramble and cover was the difference in the game really. Because I mean, the amount of times when it seemed like, especially over to the left there, where the Panthers sort of had them backpedaling 20 metres out with like three on, you know, a winger, and just their ability to kind of,
to
get, you know, good reads out of their wingers to start with to kind of slow them down, and then the rest of the guys to get across and lend a hand and shut it down before it could get anywhere any worse.
Yep.
It was the difference. It was the winning of the game.
100%. And that's something Melbourne's obviously put a lot of work into over the off season, because their defence, especially right out on the edges last year, did leave something to be desired. And so that's obviously been a very big focal point for them. In terms of the game itself, you know, the Panthers being a victim of their own success and bleeding world-class players after each ring, it was pretty obvious that Stephen Crichton's boots are going to be maybe even bigger to fill than anyone thought. He's firmly in that mould, maybe even more so than Kikau, in that I was sadder to lose him when he left than I was when it was announced, if that makes sense. He was always going to be a loss. He was always going to be a big loss. But the end of his season, and especially the finals campaign he had last year, left a massive fucking hole in that side. Looking across the park, that was a relatively standard Panthers game. You know, they were making metres out wide. They weren't afraid to spread the ball early. they were in there forcing dropouts and earning repeat sets. It's just going to take a little while for the new offence to click. And you're looking at, like, the team that was, you know, the best in the NRL in terms of discipline in offence over the last 3 years, to have 29 missed tackles. Yeah, 29 missed tackles and 12 errors. So the general parts of the game were fine. Melbourne's defence was absolutely fine. Penrith's defence was great as well. It's just now time to fine-tune that offence.
And I'll tell you what, you talked about, you know, Crichton, but there's a much more devastating signing in this game that I think is going to make people, you know, very sad. And that is the money the West Tigers are spending on Jerome Luai.
Well, it's not going to make anyone that's not a West Tigers fan sad.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
How much is that? Six mil, Glennie? Six mil?
It's all the millions, I believe. Yeah,
lots of millions.
The World Mathematics Forum.
I think it's too many fucking millions.
they've invented a new number called the Luai. How much is that house? Oh, 2.4 Luai.
It's just a currency in Campbelltown now.
Fucking hell.
Police seized 2.4 Luai's worth of hard drugs from an Ed's residence last night during a midnight raid.
Mark, he said, more drop ball in the 40 from Penrith than in their last 4 years. Definitely was. Steve, when did Popeye start coaching the Storms, or has he had a stroke on the right side of his body? Devonhead said Dylan Edwards is 2023 Teddy. Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm Dylan Edwards, there are worse things I could do, because maybe if I play like a busted fucking has-been, I might get a rep jersey.
Yeah, but he's got the Teddy had the incumbency thing too behind him.
Yeah, true.
Edwards doesn't got that.
Grover, he said, Penrith are a myth. The streak survives. That's a fucking stupid record, hey? Like, there was, I forget which player it was, but there was like one of the guys who ran out for Melbourne. That record begun to be set before he was born.
Well, this makes it. It was 22, and this was 23, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
Stupid. Nathan, probably the most sideways Penrith has played in 3 years. Didn't have an answer to the Storm's solid defense. Ryan, oh, he's gone off early here. Riff to miss the eight. Fucking hell.
Fuck.
Mark.
So fucking crazy in round one.
Honestly. Mark said, both sides had dozens of errors, but the Storm managed 8 points. Taylor May and Garner can walk away knowing they played hard. The rest of Penrith needs a reset. There we go. Oh, Glenn. Glenn Blakely. So the West Tigers scored as many points as the three-time defending champions in round one and conceded less. Built different.
Facts.
There you go.
All right. So the Eels, 26, defeat the Bulldogs, 8, at CommBank Stadium. And Cameron Ciraldo looking pretty, pretty tired. Right now, just before we talk about the game, because I don't want to forget, did you see the post-match presser for this game at all?
No.
Cameron Ciraldo in the presser said, and I'm paraphrasing, but in the press conference he said, we scored the last two tries in the game, and I thought that was outstanding.
Well,
what the fuck?
Here's the thing.
That's your fucking bar, cunt. That bar is so fucking low.
Our mate Sharky Dave
couldn't fucking limbo under it.
I've been coaching junior sport now for a grand total of 4 seasons. And sometimes you have to find a positive.
Before
you let him at the lollies and solo.
So little fucking Petey the potato, you know, doesn't want to go home and fucking Kurt Cobain himself because you actually speak.
Petey the potato is not being paid $600,000 season.
It's true.
To play basketball.
What about Jackie the dreadlock? He come off the court Friday night, and I tried to deliver a positive. He's like, "Don't do that. I played like ass. We're shit. Season's over. Let's go home."
Man,
look, that level of self awareness is great.
I tell you, I had my boy had district this week. For under 12s. Or sorry, I shouldn't say. It's 12 and unders. Right? And he's 9. And was playing against boys who could have turned 12 January 1 this year.
Hmm.
So there were kids out there with fucking hairy armpits and angry at their dads.
How would they have that at 12? What's going on?
It's the hormones in the chicken, Glenn.
He's obviously playing in the fucking G League or something.
On a side note, was an absolute fucking shit show. Our region picked a team, like they had trials, picked a team, had one training session on a half court the day before the tournament, turned up, every other side had obviously had, you know, maybe 4 sessions, knew each other, coaches knew the kids, they're all warming up doing proper drills. Our teacher coach literally sat there on his phone while they just had a shoot around before the games.
Yeah. Right? So it's like this, I'm thinking it's like something like Cool Runnings, like your guys were the Jamaican bobsled team. Oh. And everyone else was like the Swiss.
Trouble is, they were the Jamaican bobsled team. However, they were competing in high jump. So
oh, that's funny.
But like went out there, played his absolute fucking guts out, and he's had quite a lucky career in that he's been in some good teams with some good kids, great coaching, but Jesus. Has won more games than they've lost, you know, and the ones they lose are close ones. And the first game, they came up against a team where the starting five ended up getting selected for regionals. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Got absolutely fucking dusted by 30 points.
Yeah.
And he's come off the court, right? And he goes, did you see that one time I got that guy? I got him one time. I'll get him again. I'll fucking get him again. Like, just got absolutely fucking murdered. But he's like, oh, I can get him. So, I need someone to do the opposite of that, Glennie, and give him negative assessment. Send Jax down. Send Jax down. So he's like, shut your face. Yeah.
Listen. Your team played like shit. You got belted. Let's go home.
What's your take on Serraldo leaving Fox out there? Clearly busted.
With one arm. And like on one hand, like if you're being charitable, you go, well, like, you know, traditionally, you know, sometimes you get, you know, with only a couple of minutes to half time,
you can sort of hide
players out on the wing.
Save an interchange.
To, you know, if they maybe. Like but I mean, yeah, he was fucked and then they're passing it to him and he's trying to catch it. You know, like if he's out there and he's clearly dead, just keep the fucking ball away from him.
But it's not
as much as you can in attack and in.
Like, and then again, you get the trainers run out there to guys, yep. And they'll touch him on the shoulder, yep. And they'll get the brush off. Nah, man, get out. Fox was at the sideline.
Yeah, saying, and he like one arm was useless. Like he couldn't. It wasn't like he was hurt. But if a guy ran at him, you could sort of try and slow him down. Yeah. Like he was. Yeah. Completely
I feel like
fucked.
If the player,
yeah.
Sometimes players are their own worst enemies. They stay out there when they definitely should clearly be coming off, and the trainers or the coaching staff do the right thing and get them off the field. When the player is saying, "I'm fucked, get me off," like,
yeah,
this is not 1984.
That should tell you everything you need to know.
And it's round one.
It's round one. Guy's going to score 90% of your tries this year.
Yeah.
Just make sure he's right.
Take the player L, get him off, reshuffle, is round one, right? There's your fucking excuse. You're going to lose anyway, you dumb fuck. There's your out.
Yep.
Get him off because it might make a 6-week injury a 3-week injury. You know?
Yep.
But what are they talking now? It's rotator cuff damage?
Yeah, I didn't see.
Or AC joint damage. There's something.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side, it's like, I mean, deals were pretty good, but I mean, like an easy win for them, and like a fairly big win for them. But they were like their attack was pretty ordinary, especially like in the red zone. I mean, they had so many more opportunities than they could have put 50 on them if they were serious. Like the Bulldogs were that shit.
What are the fucking chances? Before that game, is there an alternate universe at all? Where anyone picked that out of all the ex-Panthers on that field, Bryce Cartwright would be the shining light.
I think it's tough to get a true read.
It just
on
goes
power.
To show
it's difficult to assess exactly where they are. But you know, I think it was clunky, blew out a few cobwebs. I think they'll be better for that run. The Bulldogs, it's much of the same, and you know, I just feel like they keep making significant investments in players and names, and you know, they've pinned all their hopes in Serraldo. And you know, like, what if they get to round 12 and they've won two games? They just keep sticking.
Possible.
They play like this, they'll fucking be lucky. Mm. They'll be thankful for the two games.
Yeah.
If they play like this, that they did this week.
Fuck. Yeah. I don't know. He can't be a protected species Bennett. Forever. Like that. They don't want to.
No, he can't be.
You know, they'd want to save face as much as possible, but.
But this is our thing. Does anyone make that squad work? Does anyone short of Wayne Bennett, and even then, maybe not? Because what he achieved at the Dolphins, I think, was partly due to the fact that most of them were either over the peak of their career or, you know, B-list first graders.
Yeah.
Who comes into that side and all of a sudden finds what it needs?
Because it's to make it work. For the Bulldogs, and I get it, they're trying to stack a team with exciting talent. I don't know. There's just not a hard-nosed veteran in there. There's not a Fisher Harris. There's not a Welsh or a fucking, you know, that glue guy.
Yeah, there's not a there's not a creative half in there either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You can pay fucking Fox and Crichton and all the money you want in the world, but I mean, like, if Burton and Hutchinson are your fucking halves.
Yeah, that's it.
They're not going to get the fucking ball and do anything with it. Yep.
It's a thing. They should have gone.
I don't even think Hutchinson was that good in the trials and like to beat out Sexton.
No, not at all.
Who's like a legitimate halfback. I mean, I'm not saying he's great. He's a proper halfback though.
With Sexton, I think you pick and stick, and you give him time to gel and mesh with those guys. Like, you can't just give him. And you've seen over the last couple of seasons, they've had halves in there and they've experimented and they've been in and out of the side. And I think you've got to give them a significant amount of weeks to actually work with the side. Because Burton has a particular way of playing Crichton. So does Crichton. Kikau likes the ball in certain spots to be at his best. And, you know, that takes time for that to click. For a half, and if you're getting 3 weeks and you don't have three great games, then you're dropped again, and then the next guy comes in, then maybe you play 5-8 for a couple. Like, fuck me dead. Like, if it's going to be Sexton, or, you know, I think he's the pick of them, put him in there and let him figure it out. Like, what do you got to lose? Look, they're probably going to lose him whether he's there or not, so lose him and let him learn.
I'll tell you what.
Yep.
In hindsight, the Bulldogs should have taken fucking every bit of money they had. They should have fucked off every bit of dead weight they could. And they should have gone at Ben Hunt with everything they had and said, fucking, what does it take? How many fucking backdoor third party, back-ended, promised jobs to your families after you finish the career? What can we do? Because you're right, they need an established seven to put that team around. Because that's what they're all used to having, and they will all shine. But at the moment, they're fucking rudderless. Bennett.
Yep.
Every time the camera shows a close-up of Critter, you can see a little less soul in his eyes. Rod, Critter, Kikau and Burton, you should have taken the unders. Salmon, you are where you deserve to be. Steve, is there some kind of player's code about protecting injured players? I couldn't believe the Eels weren't running traffic at the Fox while he was out there with one arm hanging off him. I severely doubt he could have made a tackle, but they didn't make him even try once. That's a good point, because just as we were saying that they were stupid for leaving him out there, that was a wasted opportunity. How did no one realise that and feed it back to the players?
Yeah. And we've had this discussion, remember back when in Origin when Thurston's shoulder was fucked as well. I mean, they could have just run train on him, but they didn't. And ultimately lost, you know, that was like a series losing, I think, too. Yeah. And the story becomes, oh my God, Thurston's so courageous. Like, yeah, fuck him.
I think
if you're on the field, you're fucking...
You're fair game.
If you're on the field, then you're fair game, yeah. And it was in the first half, your coach and your team has interchanges available with which to get you off. So if you're staying on there, then it's either a decision you made or a decision they made, and in any case, fucking deal with it.
Correct.
get trampled, get wrecked. Are we moving on? You finish those socials?
Let's go. Let's go.
Dragons 24 defeat the Gold Coast Titans 4 at Hope Solo Coliseum. And look, it's mentioned that, you know, last year in the Dragons, you know, they're expected to be the sort of the bottom side, and they, you know, were kind of, you know, surprising to finish, you know, sort of outside the eight, but, you know, much certainly out of the spoon race. And this year, you know, there was another one where they were, you know, looking like they were going to be, you know, tussling for the spoon. And then they had come out and had this win. And so Dragons fans might think that, you know, that changes anything, but it doesn't. Now, fuck yourselves. You're still coming fucking dead last.
Correct.
Nathan, it's Titans, bitches. Why are you going to be like that?
Fucking wake up to yourselves. I'm just preempting the fucking comments. I'm looking at the socials.
It's so great to see the Dragons singing their victory song and their fans with smiles on their faces. It must make them so proud to see their team beat the Gold Coast Titans. I don't know where this hatred, this vitriol comes from towards...
There's no hatred or vitriol. It's just sober, clinical doses of reality and truth.
26 seasons, these Dragons. 26 seasons the Dragons employed their trade in this competition. Like, fucking, just workmanlike, you know, powerhouse of the competition. Yeah.
Just up there on the roof with a hammer. Just on the roof with a hammer.
Look, it wasn't around on the roof with a hammer. It wasn't a wasted 26 years. They've got one premiership to show for it.
You know? Yeah. I just don't know where this comes from.
Well,
the Titans, the Desi era. I don't know. Maybe Desi's passed it. Maybe the game has passed Desmond by. I feel strongly about this.
Real talk. I will scream this from the fucking mountaintops. The last time Des Hasler was relevant, there were giant lumbering props and there were two extra interchanges per game. That was the last that he was a fucking gun coach.
And the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily anything about his coaching or strategy or anything like that. But I think, remember when he first came to Manly and started his coaching career in like the mid 2000s. He was almost like on the cutting edge of, you know, sports science and, you know, that sort of thing, recovery and all that sort of shit. I don't think that he's advanced anything in that field since like 2012. So I just know, looking at the difference in my team, particularly this year, a year removed from him, I think he's of the school where, you know, when he's coaching players, he just fucking flogs them so they become super fit, athletic specimens, but they're not fucking, they don't have any of this fitness that's like specifically tailored to rugby league.
Yeah.
They're just flogging dudes at training and working them really hard, but not actually training them for scenarios that a rugby league footballer encounters during the 80 minutes that they're, you know, back and forth up a football field.
Such as defending racists.
Fucking
quick
exercise, not their brain. They're brain damaged meat puppets. You never have to exercise their minds, all right?
Give me three sets of 20, leave it on the fields.
So that's where I think that he's that's where I think that he's really fallen down. But the Titans, but then you know, then like, you can take it back to the coach. This Brimson in the centre's shit. Like, we mentioned it briefly last week.
I don't know that he's the problem offensively. Ridiculous. I don't know that he's the answer defensively, though, but...
He's definitely not the answer defensively. But I don't... But in the set, I mean, the centres in today's game, I mean, it's not the... You know, like, he is probably the most attacking weapon that they have. And when does Brimson love to do stuff, like, in open field, broken play, in scenarios such as... returning a kick because he was the fullback and that's where he grabbed it from.
But then where does Campbell ball. You can't play Campbell at 5'8" because Foran's there. You can't play... No. But
Campbell
long,
wasn't fucking
you know,
there anyway, so he wasn't even an issue this time.
Isolated game.
Yeah, and that is another issue as well.
Because foreign can't play anywhere but six. Yeah,
you're right.
Okay. Right.
Correct. Oh, yeah. No, he could look. He could play nine, but he'd die
six.
After.
So
about three
six
minutes.
Six is foreign, yeah. and he has to be there.
He doesn't want that.
He
smoke.
Has to be in the side for them to even be remotely competitive.
Yeah.
Yep.
Campbell's your first option at one. You can't make him 14. He's too small to play in the halves. He can't play in the centres. And then you need to have, you know, so does Brimson become, and I think it's almost an insult to him to suggest it, but is he 14? Is that his best spot?
Well, I mean, he did it. That's what he does in Origin to, you know, reasonable success.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you imagine if other sports treated positions and jobs like rugby league does? Like we've just thrown out any fucking inkling of any sort of specialist in any one area. Like imagine Formula One. They're like, oh, driver, you're out. Fucking cunt on the fucking zit gun on the tyres. Get the car. Fucking computer guy up the back. Get on the fucking zit gun. Let's fucking go. New season.
I'm not suggesting he plays prop.
Your knowledge of racing terminology is astounding.
That's some absolute galaxy.
I didn't know you were so into
motorsport knowledge that you're exhibiting there. It's fucking brilliant.
I get it. And you know what? That's even without watching the fucking Netflix show. Believe it or not, that's just pure fucking lived experience.
Yep. I'm not suggesting.
Yeah,
that's where I first found out about the Zitzit gun. They put it in the trailer. It was so educational.
I learned everything I know from Ricky Bobby. I know there's invisible fire.
That's funny.
But again, even in the forwards though, it's a fucking different game playing from prop to second row. Maybe second row to locks. The most easily transferable skill set.
Yeah, that's pretty.
You know, wing and centre and fullback, you need some experience there, or you need such fucking mental fortitude to remember an exact set of instructions and react to them non-instinctively in an instant.
Yeah, so we agree, Brimson's not a centre.
What is he?
Long story short, Brimson's not a centre. But the Dragons, though, like similar to Canberra, I mean, they just showed what bringing the right attitude and application for, like, you know, 80 minutes can do, especially when you're up against a team that's not fucking there.
Mm.
You know, like, I mean, Zach Lomax, all speculation all through the week, you know, is like he's... You know, he's parked out in the wing because Flano sat him down and said, look, here's the stats. Here's the stats of the top 30 centres in the competition. And based on all these stats, you're ranked 26th.
Yep.
So I'm putting you on the wing.
Yeah.
Look.
The other centres in our club are ranked 27, 28, 29, and 30. Worked for him.
Yeah.
But I'm playing you on the wing.
Yeah, but I mean, look, you know, you can't argue with the results. I mean, Lomax had a pretty happy game, all in all, I thought. And and just when the doggies are looking for a seven, Flano Jr. gets a try, fucking taps the emblem. He loves it. Dragons for life now.
Dragons for a week.
Love it.
Gonna retire up the Gold Coast and with fucking historical charges hanging over his head. He's gonna be such an icon of the Dragons.
Oh, Nathan.
Phil, he said just Ben Hunt doing Ben Hunt things. Bennett, little just raw dogged Kinney.
Sorry, that just before you did remind me of that with that Ben Hunt doing Ben Hunt things when he dropped the kickoff. And that was one of the most difficult fucking... That was a disappointing part of the whole Titans play. They could have done the funniest thing ever. It was... I think they were down 6-4 at that time.
Yep.
I think it was... and they could have done the funniest thing ever. and just passed it, just one off the fucking play the ball, and just potted a field goal.
Yeah.
Just straight after, just for fucking lols. But I mean, sure, it would have been 6-5, but hey, five's more points than they ended up scoring ultimately. And also, just the fucking meme value of just doing that would have been hilarious. And I think teams, especially when they're fucking losers like the Titans, just, you know, you got to think about it. You got to make it worthwhile for your fans. And the Titans fans could have dined on that shit for an entire season. Straight. No problem.
Scott, he said, fucking fade us. Every year, same bullshit with injury gods killing our spine. But now, with a bonus of conservative Des Ball. Chris, to think, this is the side that was picked to play the Warriors in New Zealand on Anzac Day. They must really feel the Warriors deserve the W after years of being pantsed by the Storm.
I did not realise that they switched that up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fucking quite a tradition going on there with the Storm. What the fuck did they change that for?
Yeah. Bailey said, Dragons look good, but don't get ahead of yourselves. You only beat the Titans. Wait for a real test, you racist, sexual offending pieces of shit. There you go. Lando, I feel supremely confident when I hear all three of the lads tip against the Dragons. It's the year of the Dragon. There you are. We did it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
you're the Dragon getting into a fucking ding-dong battle for the spoon.
Old mate Bunk, he came out and he said the Titans are long-form COVID.
Finally, the Cowboys 43. Fucking put it on right into the fucking blowhole of the Dolphins 18.
Certainly did.
Suncorp Stadium. And my God, whilst new arrival Thomas Flegler had a pretty good game and showed the value he's going to bring to the Dolphins.
Yep.
They got fucking problems.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, pretty much.
Yeah. I think they're feeling the effects very, very early on in 2024 that they're not the NRL newbies, and it's fairly glaring. I do feel they'll be better than this performance, and that's purely the Bennett factor. O'Sullivan, you know, Hammer's not going to have another game like that, and he still had a few moments. But I feel like the Cowboys got it in.
I'll tell you what, Glennie. I'll tell you.
That's one of his worst career games.
Well, you know, you were saying before, if you were a coach, you'd put your seven in, you stick with him, you let him figure it out, you let him have a few bad games. Unfortunately, Wayne Bennett seems to disagree with you, and he's fucking dumped O'Sullivan for this week. So
O'Sullivan's the one that gets dumped. You know, the thing I found mystifying is they bring Katoa in, and he was like young and everything, but they're like, he's for the future. And then Nikurima is that guy's a stand-in sort of
a career temp sort of guy, a substitute teacher, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Wow,
he's one of those guys. But, just like we were talking about with the Titans, he's that. You know, he's got a bit of the Tyrone Peaches about him of exactly where is his position, and you end up at that. Oh fuck, maybe he's a 14.
Yep.
You know, Dolphins, it's a rough one.
Yeah, O'Sullivan, that's a weird decision, but we'll get to that. But, I thought the Cowboys, you know, can't start the season much better than that. Away from home, albeit Suncorp is, you know, a bit of a home away from home for the Cowboys. They
fairly happy hunting ground for them. Yep.
Yep. Dolphins, hopefully they've got some improvement in them because it's going to be a long season if they don't.
Yeah, certainly is.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really sort of formulate your opinions until sort of, you know, first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks just to see how teams settle.
I think we can all agree the Titans season, are shit, but, fuck the Dragons.
Yeah, and Dolphins aren't the only. Worrying signs already for the Dolphins, the Titans, and yet again the Dogs.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
Nice. Shane. Observation, Chad Townsend's dyed his hair. Now it looks like Lego hair, like it didn't before. And referee Chris Butler was wearing a Taylor Swift friendship bracelet. Fuck, that's some eagle-eyed vision you've got there. Jordan, unpopular opinion, but Val Holmes is now the Cowboys' second-best centre. I don't know if the Dolphins were terrible or the Cowboys played well, but regardless, as a Cows fan, it's a mile better than the shit they dished up last year. My brother in Christ, do you mean that he's now their second-best centre ever? or that he was their second best centre on the night. I don't understand your comment.
Also, what shit did they dish up last year?
Well, steaming piles of it.
I mean, they weren't like Dolphins terrible.
No.
Carson, where that game, I mean, come on, there are degrees, there's levels.
Carson said, top of the table. Looks like the beginning of an undefeated asterisk season. David, Dolphin conversion therapy would have been a better alternative to watching that live. Cow should have run up a 50 burger. And Kathleen,
you're close,
said Cows play way better when Hess is injured. Interesting, I haven't noticed. That's us.
Right, okay, so let's move on to the games coming up. And this week, the Gold Coast mercifully get a bye, because fuck, they could use a couple of weeks to work on things. Thursday night, the Broncos take on the Rabbitohs at Suncorp Stadium. And, oh, Corey Oates is in on the bench this time.
There we go.
Interesting. I was just seeing the articles about Corey Oates through the week where, remember how he re-signed? It was like, you know, it was looking like he was going to leave the Broncos.
Yes.
You know, and at the end of his contract. And they got it done and got the contract. And he's promptly not played first grade since. And not only that he hasn't played first grade, yeah, the Broncos have a number of feeder clubs they're associated with. Who they got? They got Wynnum, Burley. They got another one in Brisbane as well. Is it East?
Not sure.
Up here? I can't remember who the other one is.
Q Cup doesn't matter. And anyone who thinks it does.
Yeah, but the thing is, the point being that Corey Oates was assigned by the club to Burley. So, it's, you know, like 100 Ks down the road.
Yeah, fuck off down the coast.
To drive back. Yeah, so he had the shits apparently. And but yeah, they say he's in. Anyway, the Rabbits. Jai Arrow is out. I saw a thing saying he could potentially miss the whole season. What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
One of his dogs bit him. I don't know.
Maybe he's gone to jail.
I didn't read the thing. I just saw the headline saying that he... Possibly. They start fucking jailing people for that shit. Okay, both losers in Las Vegas. Who you
I
got,
think
Glennie?
The Broncos at home. I do like the Bunnies this year. I think they'll be strong. But first game at home for the Broncos, be a big crowd, they'll be pumped. I think they'll beat South.
Yeah, I want to favour the Broncos at home. I think of the two teams, I think Souths were better last week, but you know, the Vegas thing as well, it's kind of like a, you know, pretend sort of, you know, thing as well. The Broncos, I think, would have got the bigger wake-up call because they got handled pretty easily. And they were very poor. They were the worst team of the Vegas teams, I think. But, look, I'm happy at this early stage of the season when we don't quite know where things are settled. I'm quite happy to say just take Broncos at what will no doubt be a packed-out Suncorp Stadium.
100%.
All right. The betting is very much on that tip as well. The next game, what do we got? Friday pub slot game, Sharks take on the Bulldogs. And what a pub slot clash it is. Sharks by fucking plenty. Do we need to go too much further into it?
No.
Sharks at home. Doggies, obviously, have lost the Fox. Bronson Jerry, he'll get his
19.
Well, he's in 19, so he might not get his start yet. They're gonna be itching to bring him into the side, but look, the dog showed me literally fucking nothing. And like I've seen, you know, like they had I can't remember what stats were, but maybe they had 41% or, you know, 40-ish% of the possession for that game. And look, it wasn't because fucking the Parramatta Eels just kept getting the ball by some magic and the referee was assigning them fucking 60% of the ball. I mean, you fucking make your own burden by dropping them, you know, making errors, letting in tries. You know, sure, the score could have been worse, but yeah, dog showed me fucking nothing until further notice. Yeah. Sharks
Kurt
by Manning heaps.
14, yep. Sharks by 40.
Sharks by 28. 40. Ooh. All right, Glennie. The Panthers take on the Eels. At home for the Panthers. Friday night. Late slot. Summerton is out. Mitch Kenny comes back in after serving his little suspension.
Yep.
Dane Laurie to the bench. Huge move. I keep seeing talk that Mav Guy is about to make his debut as well.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, I saw that in heaps of places in our Facebook group as well.
Yeah, but I saw people sort of whispering it was going to be last time, but it didn't happen, and he's on the bench again this time. The Eel side, pretty much unchanged, right? Yeah, just shuffling some of the forwards around. I think the Panthers' defense, you know, the defense and the attitude in defense was good. And that's half the battle when the rest of the game, the rest of your game's not firing.
Yep.
I think they're a better side than Parramatta against this early season bullshit. But you know, I'm going to back them to bounce back until they prove otherwise.
Look, the one thing.
Fuck the Eels too. Just fuck them.
The big difference in Penrith this season is that our bench is no longer superhuman. You know.
Let me see the bench. We didn't
get to have our starting prop ratio of fucking Moses and Fish terrorizing future generations of players, and then sub them in with the fucking Grand Dragon to come on and give his special brand of justice. So I think there are going to be times in the game where they need to be very careful on momentum. But yeah, Penrith by plenty.
Penrith at home. You know, first home game of the season in, you know, another premiership defence. Massive crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be better for the hit out than last week than Parra will be. I think they'll win.
Yeah. And like, I'll tell you what, again, like every fucking year, it is going to be harder for them to get up for this shit.
Admittedly, even when they can get up for it, I mean, the Eels do sit to have a very good regular season record over the Panthers, but
they do. But if you look at every one of those games that they have won, there has been a fucking glorious reason why it's
an out. Motherfucker, that's right up there.
Glaringly, for example, just give me.
Glaringly obvious reasons.
That's all right. You can invent a new contraction. That's
globvious.
Glarious.
Obvious.
A player played so glaringly like Darius Boyd in his final year, kicking a fucking football to send his baby Earthside.
There was one game we played against them in a regular season where it was, yeah, we were on our undefeated run, and it was the worst game that we'd played of the season. Then there was the game where Cleary got sin binned, you know, after 3 minutes, and they played the whole game a man down. There's a whole bunch of reasons why Parramatta win regular season games. So hopefully this one doesn't have any of that fucking hoodoo.
The Raiders take on the undefeated West Tigers.
Yes, they do.
Down there in Canberra, Glennie. Still warm enough to fucking breathe down there. And we get to see the West Tigers debuting Lachlan Galvin in the six.
Caesar's season was short-lived.
And let me tell you, I do appreciate Benji giving Galvin some great first grade experience before he comes over to Manly.
Why the fuck is he going to Manly?
What do you think, Glennie? The Tigers are an unknown quantity at this stage. Oh, he's got a relationship with fucking with old mate with Lampkin. Ross. He's going to bring him across. Unhappy with the whole, you know, Scott Fulton and all the business going on over there.
Poor little guy.
I'm sorry to break it to you early. Yeah. Look, West Tigers, unknown quantity, terrible. Fucking horrible in the trials. Absolutely. Fucking horrible terrible. In the season last year.
And the year before that, Nathan, let's be honest.
Raiders, great energy. Yeah, well, you know, in the 10 before that. I mean, if it's honesty hour. Now, the Raiders, you know, great attitude, really took it to the Knights and put it on them. I don't think the Tigers can stand up to that kind of pressure if Canberra come out with the same energy. Their first home game of the season for them too. So, you know, it's an occasion for them. Are you fucking up against it, Glenn?
Nathan, I tend to agree.
Raiders, might get fucking blasted $1.45
favourites and probably deservedly so. Tigers sitting fairly comfortably in ninth position. So, you know, at least there's some familiarity for them. I think it'll be short-lived because they will plummet. These early season games, we typically play the Raiders in the first few games to start each season, and it rarely ends well.
Well, better now than when you need, yes, need to win to make the eight.
Yes, because we typically play them again late in the season, and it doesn't go so well then either. So,
it's almost like you're not very good at football.
Look, you can make that assumption if you knew nothing about rugby league.
I actually feel a little bit dismayed at this level of this lack of confidence.
You just said it was honesty.
Usually, you've got a rousing fucking speech about teams of destiny and blah blah blah, and it's essentially round one for you guys, and you're already fucking put the cue in the rack.
5'8". Is Jaden Sullivan's nickname actually Bud? Is that his actual nickname? Yeah, it is. Fuck me, dude. Not so sure about him.
Really? As in the marijuana plant, or his favorite movie is Air
Bud? I don't know. I've not had many conversations with Jaden Sullivan. I couldn't tell you.
Fair enough.
Look, it could be a tough afternoon for the Tigers, but like I said, it's harder to win 3 wooden spoons in a row than it is to win 3 premierships. So the Tigers will go about proving that.
There you go.
Yeah, and fuck the Raiders.
Yep. Look, anything can happen in the first couple of weeks. I'm happy
you
to be surprised.
Both. I would love to be surprised.
Man, I don't.
But look,
prognosis is not good.
The
Cowboys take on
Glenn. Like just having a true understanding of the reality of the West Tigers this season. It's refreshing.
Nice.
Right. Cowboys taking on the Knights. Big winners in round one. The Cowboys,
not
the
so
Knights
much.
Have to make the trip up to Townsville. And after their meek capitulation to the Canberra Raiders, I'm favouring the Cowboys at home. Again, it's their first home game of the season. It'll be full house up there.
I do expect the Cowboys to win for exactly that reason. But it is also something the Knights might do where they rally the fucking troops and put in a great performance and beat a team that is typically very tough to beat at home, if you know what I mean. The potential for Newcastle to bounce back is really there, but I am leaning towards the Cowboys.
Nice.
It's a lot of pressure on the Knights this season, really, to back up that, you know, getting into the finals, you know, on the back of that late run that they had post Origin. A lot of pressure to replicate that again, or even to go one better, and sort of, you know, aim for something like top four or something. But I don't know if they got it in them, and I'm going the Cowboys to be safe this one. Storms take on the Warriors. Korean housewife again in Melbourne. The Warriors side. Oh, Blorey's coming on the bench this time, Glenny. He might get his first run out for the Storms. He's in 18 at the moment, though. But, I mean, the way Christian Welsh is fucking fading as a player, he might get in there sooner rather than later.
Good kid. I hope he does get his opportunities in Melbourne and you know, realises his potential.
Warriors. can they bounce back? I mean, the Storm, again, like we said with the Panthers, I mean, if the defence is working this early in the season, it's a great sign, even if the rest isn't. But, yeah, you know, the Melbourne attack was, you know, yeah, both of the sides last week, but, you know, they weren't amazing. But, and, you know, they probably left some opportunities out there. But, yeah, look, yeah. I think Melbourne are going to open it up a little bit this week. Warriors, sure. Traditionally very good down there in Melbourne, though. I mean, they do have a good record of upsets down there.
Yeah, they do.
Probably more so than any other side.
Tell you what, thank fuck Ryan Papenhuyzen didn't get hurt. Nice to see him get through a game.
Yep. Wade Egan's named in nine, so obviously he came
in. I'll go on the upset.
When it was bugging him last week.
Really?
Come good.
Yep.
Really? Warriors to bounce back, are they?
Two of us to check to have a massive Storm. Game right. Against those plotters in the centres for Melbourne. That'll be the difference.
Love well, it. All right.
Fucking all right. Plotters.
We will see. The old bulldog stalwarts in the centres for the Storms. The escapees, as we call them. The mighty Manly Siege Eagles take on the Roosters. Brooksvale Oval, the debut for Brooksy there. Sunday afternoon. Fucking what a place to be. I know it's going to be a sellout crowd. Saw a thing today on Twitter. They're down to the last 1,000 tickets. The stand sold out a week ago, but they got 1,000 left on the hills. So it's going to be a full house, which is going to be great for Brooksy to be treated. You know, he's going to see what it's like to play in front of a full house. He's already seen what it's like to win a game. So, I mean, he's on the fucking Make-A-Wish World Tour at the moment. And I expect it to continue. The Roosters, they're pretty good over there in Las Vegas. Obviously, a big loss with the Grand Wizard Spencer Lanoue out for 8 weeks. They do welcome back Letters, though, among some others. Manly, the only thing they have to cover is Saab. And so Tommy Talau is going to get his start on the wing. And we may see the debut of Jamie Humphreys. At the moment, he's in the 22. I think there's a pretty good chance that we see him into the 14, though, by game time. Because it's weird. There's been, like, conflicting information about injury to Carl Lawton. Like, I thought he did his ankle in that Vegas game. But, and then they're saying, oh, yeah, it could be, like, sort of 6 to 8 weeks or some shit. And then,
yeah,
like,
fuck.
No, he's named there. Apparently, he's good to go. So those American doctors don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But I expect Jamie Humphreys to be there sooner rather than later. And I'd love to see him debut this week as well, because he fucking killed it in the preseason. And just one of those kids that, you know, really deserves to get his spot. Yeah, I'm going Manly. At home, full house. Should have put 50 on the Rabbits. If the field had been full width, we would have. And I expect the combinations, just another weekend with Tommy, Brooksy, fucking Kohler over there. Ben Turbo running those fucking lines off Brooksy. 2 tries for him, easily, this game. The more you put on, the more you get back. And really, the back line of the Roosters worries me. The only thing that really worries me about the Roosters is just them just fucking throwing bombs to fucking Tupou and Dominic Young. But if the boys in the middle do their job, and, you know, controlled the field position and, you know, cut down their opportunities to launch that kind of attack, because, you know, they have to be, so, you know, within reasonable proximity of the try line to be doing that sort of shit. Now, if they can limit that sort of stuff, then I think we've definitely got the ability to score more points than them. And it may end up being a little bit of a shootout.
Yep.
With a lot of tries.
Yeah. I'm not sure about Tommy Talau and Jackson Paolo in the air against Tupou and Young.
At least Tommy's got some. Yeah. At least Tommy's got some height to him. Like, I mean, because he wouldn't have been the first choice to come in. I think that he's a selection that's been made for, you know, a situational sort of selection. I think that if it had been any other team we were playing, I think they would have put Ray Vega in. But that guy, you know, we call him Bowser. I mean, he's like that. He's like a little nugget, and he's got fucking, he's like George Tafua Mark II. Like, he's got no hang time, no fucking vertical leap. He's just a little fucking battering ram. And while he might make, you know, Tupou and or Dom Young, whoever he was lined up, while he might make them think twice about touching the ball because he'd just be fucking hammering them all day,
He's
not going to win any fucking contests in the air. So I think they've gone Talau just to put a bit more height on there because, look, it's coming. They know it's coming. So we've just got to score more points and we've just got to do the job to limit their opportunities to launch those sorts of raids.
Yeah. Simple as that. The Roosters' weakness is still in the halves. It's still in the halves.
Yeah.
And for the outside backs to have any sort of fucking potency, it's got to get out there.
And not to mention in defensively in those halves as well. Yeah, I mean, now you've got Burbo running the lines, and then you've got Homoli on the other side. I mean, that's where we're going to get it done this season. We're just going to smash the edges all day long, and that's going to create opportunities, you know, for either for those guys to make, you know, to make the line breaks through their lines, or provide opportunities for, you know, playing off the back of that, like Tommy down the left and, you know, Daly on the right. But
what's the last game?
Look, early days. I feel we're fit. I feel they can get it done. They're up. It's going to be an upset if they win, but it'll be a good win if they can get it at home for the Brooksvale faithful. The Dolphins take on the Dragons, the last game. This one is at, they say it's at KO Stadium, so it's just going to be down the road. So, geez, if it was an attractive game, I'd think about going. But it's the Dolphins playing the fucking Dragons. Why would I? Wouldn't even drive down the road for this one. And I say, got to say, the Dolphins, unluckily for them, I don't know if they can turn it around in 7 days. I really don't.
Yeah.
There have been some changes made by Benny. So what have we got? Lemuelu and Ray Stone are out. So Avarillo comes into centre. Katoa comes into halfback. Ewan Aitken into the second row. Jared Wallace goes to the bench. And then some movement on the reserves. So Tessie New, he's out of the 17. Sean O'Sullivan out of the 17. And Max Plath promoted from bench to lock.
Dolphins at home.
Look, the Dragons are a team of... The Dragons, like their lineup is not like it's of such quality that you can guarantee them the win no matter how the Dolphins are going. But ahead of schedule, I think, Flano seems to have them playing at like a baseline of sort of competency.
Yeah.
That then if they can do that and then get on top of a side that's having a fucking mare, like the Titans were last week, then they can go and they've got some attacking players that they can press the advantage and put on some points and take the win.
I saw an interview with Flano. I don't know whether it was last week or the beginning of this one, but one thing he mentioned was, and it was very obvious in listening to him, because he said it numerous times, he was like, look, I was lucky enough to get up here a bit last year, and one thing I realised was that the players were not in a condition to play the game the way I wanted them to play it. So it's very obvious that he's gone into that club and it is either there is buy-in from you or fuck off, which seems at odds with what that club's had previously. You know, they had coaches in there that were underperforming, but they were great mates with the players in the dressing room, and then the coach got sacked and the players were shitty at the new coach that came in. It seems Flano's gone in there and just said...
For me, what he's got out of Moses Suli is the biggest example of that. You know, plenty of clubs, plenty of coaches.
100%.
He looks the fittest he ever has, and if he stays in first grade, I think, you know, he's potentially could have a massive year, but he's obviously going to have to continue to earn that first grade spot by way of his fitness and his condition, his application, and obviously his form, but he has a tendency to fall off the rails, but Flano looks to have got the best out of him so far.
Which is, you know, all the potential in the world.
You guys have expended an extreme number of words to say Trent when talking about Flano's influence at the club. Four letters, one word.
I'm going to it's a pretty tight one in the betting, but yeah,
look, I'm going to tip the Dolphins. Fuck the Dragons. Fuck them. Dolphins at home. Wayne Bennett, he's got them at home this week. I mean, if you've ever been to KO Stadium, you know it's 30 metres from the fucking 30 metres from the in-goal area on the fucking club end, from there to the Coles. You can fucking smell the fucking Swiss jam rolls from that fucking from that goal line. So if you know the Dolphins players, they're just going to get a whiff of what fucking awaits them in their moment of glory, and it's going to bring them home. The secret weapon.
There we go.
Dolphins by 16.
Oof.
Fuck you, Dragons.
Put a number on
fans. They can.
I'm Glenn Blake.
Love it.
All right, that boys. That is it. Do you have any final words before we wrap this one up?
Not at all.
All right. Well, that's easy then. I guess I'll talk to you fellas.
Yep. That's next time. Looking forward to it.
Beautiful. But,
you know. Eat a dick.
You are looking forward to it. Shut the fuck up. I'm going to record the calls next time when you're like, when you're ringing me up and you're going, I love
I've never fucking said that in my life.
Are you sure you don't want to do another?
Can we do six? Can we do?
Can we do another episode, boys?
You guys
are six episodes a week.
Yeah. I never said any of those things.
You know, there used to be this thing and they'd measure people's head with a giant claw to prove how smart different races were. Those fucking calls, man.
Yeah, used to be called
Righto, says
my. Now they call it Glenology.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.